Thanks so much for tuning in with us on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here. You know, it's lunchtime, and I guess your thoughts may be turning to something to eat, and maybe it's pizza. How would you like a great homemade or handmade pizza? Tell you what, we're going to be talking about that with Ken Forkish, who is the author of the award-winning book Flour, Water, Salt, and Yeast, the owner of three restaurants in Portland, Oregon, and has a new book out. It's called The Elements of Pizza, Unlocking the Secrets to World-Class Pies at Home. So he's going to share some of his expertise on pizza making with us today. And you may have some questions about pizza, or maybe you've got some experiences to share about pizza. I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can also post your questions on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title, The Larry Mueller Show. I'd certainly love to hear from you. And Ken Forkish, welcome. Thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Nice to be here, Larry. How are you doing today?
Oh, I'm doing great. And I've had my mouth been watering all morning as I reviewed once again your book, looking at the wonderful pizzas that that you've made, and tell us how to make. You've had a lot of fun putting that book together from the sound of it.
I can't imagine anything more fun than writing a book about pizza. This was this project was something that I enjoyed so much. I'm glad it's done, but it was a blast.
All right. You know, before we talk about pizza, you have such an interesting path to becoming a restaurateur.
Well, yeah, I started out, I had 19 years in a Silicon Valley career. I was an engineer, and then I was a sales guy, and then I just really wanted to do something that was my own thing. And I wanted to do something that involved the craft, and you know, it was a lot of soul searching, and ultimately I decided I wanted to be a baker, and I'd spent a lot of time traveling in Europe, especially in France, and I just really fell in love with the breads and the pastries I saw in the boulangeries in Paris, and I just kind of set myself down that path.
Yeah, and obviously been very, very successful. You have three restaurants. What are the names of your restaurants, and what makes them different?
Well, my first place is Ken's Artisan Bakery. We opened in 2001, and Ken's Artisan Bakery, it's a bakery and a cafe. Our breads and pastries are very much French-inspired, so if you've ever lived in Paris, they would look very familiar. My second place is Ken's Artisan Pizza. We opened in 2006. It's a wood-fired oven pizzeria, coming up on our 10-year anniversary in 2 months. And then I opened Trifecta Tavern and Bakery 2.5 years ago in 2013. And this is a full-service restaurant with a full bar and full kitchen, 110 seats.
Wow. Well, you know, your first book, Flour, to get the order right
flour,
here.
Flour, Water, Salt, Yeast.
Yeah, Flour, Water, Salt, Yeast. It's a little different when it comes to pizza, if I'm not mistaken, that ordering. But your first book was about baking and included some pizza in it. But why was it important to have an entire book about pizza?
Well, that was the contract I signed with my publisher.
Well, that's one. Yeah.
you know, it was there was really this. I felt like there was a big opportunity to explain how you can make really good pizza at home, but also like where did pizza come from, and what do you mean by the word pizza? Because if you look at all the different pictures of pizza in my book, or think of all the different pizzerias that you've eaten at, that one word pizza describes so many completely different foods. And so I was sort of captured by all the different styles of pizza, whether they're regional American styles or the style of pizza in Naples, the style of pizza in Rome, in Italy, and so on and so forth, that I wanted to sort of capture not only the current world of pizza and its top practitioners and how to make it at home, but also how did we get here?
Yeah, and that is really, really quite fascinating to me. And you must have had, so I was envying you as you was reading about where you traveled and so forth to get the information for your book.
I was really fortunate. And, you know, obviously I've been making pizza professionally for about 10 years. But when I was tasked with writing a book about pizza, you know, I tried to just sort of ask myself, well, what do I really know about pizza? I know how to make our pizza, but as a bigger subject, pizza is kind of a, you know, it's a big subject. It's a big word. And so I just came to this realization that, you know, when you start to learn a lot about any subject, the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. And so I decided to start at the beginning with a trip to Naples. I met many of the top practitioners, the top pizzaiolos in Naples, as well as the top producers for things like the flour, the cheese, the tomatoes, and just started back at the beginning. And I ended up talking to people that are my age. I'm in my 50s.
Yeah.
And they've been making their pizza their whole lives. Their father made pizza. Their grandfather made pizza. And I'm talking to people that represent 100 years of pizza history. And I kind of got schooled a little bit, although in a really good way. It was a wonderful experience.
You know, the whole thing about dough, bread dough versus pizza dough was a pretty, you know, it actually was a little surprising to you as you visited with some of the fellows.
It was indeed. You talked about the order of ingredients. And in my first book, I write about bread and then I write about pizza, but I'm writing about pizza pretty much from a bread baker's point of view because that's how, that was the lens through which I was viewing pizza. Then when I'm learning from the people making pizza in Naples, for example, which is the birthplace of pizza, pizza began in Naples, Italy. And to digress a little bit, pizza in America didn't really become a thing until, you know, probably about 50 years ago. The very first pizzas in America were in 1905 in New York City from Italian immigrants. But culturally, it didn't really expand much in our country until 50s, 60s, definitely in the 70s, as corporate pizza started to take over the United States.
It's really interesting. I was thinking about pizza, at, you know, as when I was really young, my mother, who was quite a good cook, would make pizza, and the only pizza I knew was the pizza that she made in a sheet, I think it was a half sheet pan.
Yeah, you know, that's what people call grandma pizza, and that's homemade pizza. Still, a lot of people in Italy make pizza at home from time to time, and it's exactly that. It's a simple dough in a pan topped with sauce and cheese and whatever you have around.
Well, it was so funny because I also have my best friend at the time. His mother made that same kind of, you know, made it sort of the same way. So the first time I saw a round pizza, I thought, oh, my gosh, a round pizza. It was quite a surprise.
Do you have any Italian in your family history?
No, I don't, as a matter of fact. French, mostly.
Yeah. Huh.
French and English. So
when I was a kid, pizza was like such a special occasion. So I grew up in the 60s. We would get, going out for dinner was something that in our family we did maybe four or five times a year. It was a really big deal.
Yeah.
And we would have pizza about that often as well. Sometimes we'd take it out. Sometimes we, you know, go out. But it was such a special experience that pizza for me as a child was like this really magical thing.
Yeah, well, it was pretty special for us, too. She didn't make it every night, for sure. But when she did, boy, what a treat it was. And it's good. It was kind of fun to see that it's sort of a style that you have in the book.
Yeah, indeed. I call that grandma pizza. And I have several different pizza styles that I have recipes for in the book, which is kind of nice. You might, you know, a lot of people want the same kind of pizza over and over and over. And that's really awesome. If you're making the same kind of pizza repetitively, you're going to learn to be pretty good at it. At least I hope so.
Yeah.
But every now and then you might want to, you know, be inspired to try a different kind of pizza. So I have that I represent in this book, and I hope people enjoy them. But one of the, you know, really the best part of the journey for me was affirming that great pizza in the home kitchen is it's not complicated. It's really very simple, and you can make really outstanding pizza in the home oven.
Well, that's, you know, that was the thing that I wondered is I. You know, before I opened the book, I was thinking, well, now are we going to have a new high-end oven and, you know, so forth and so on? But really, not necessarily so, is it?
No, I developed all the recipes using my home kitchen oven in my house, which is, it's not, I don't have a Viking range. I've got a standard home kitchen oven. And you just need a few tools. You can bake in a pan like your grandma pizza. But what a lot of people have been doing for many years is using a pizza stone. And more recently, there's something called a pizza steel that it's in the same shape as a pizza stone, but it really it's more conductive and it puts more heat on the bottom of the pie, and you get much closer to a professional quality pizza using a pizza steel. So you just need a few ingredients. Baking, you use we bake the pizzas in my book at 525 or 550 degrees, whatever the top temperature is you can get in your oven, and then you finish it with the broiler. So you can get that nice little bit of char on your crust and on your toppings.
Yeah, so anybody can do it. Anybody who has an oven, that'll certainly that's not going to be a problem. And the pizza steel, you can pick a pizza steel up lots
Most
of different
people
places.
Right now ordering those online. If you have a really good quality home kitchen store in your neighborhood, you might try there first.
Yeah. And I was really interested in the different kinds of doughs and the different ways. Now, the one that appealed to me the most, in a way, being that I never planned too far ahead, was the dough that you could make in the morning and have your pizza in the evening.
Yeah, and I expect that's the dough that most people will use. Just like the most feedback I get from my bread baker's book is operates on a similar schedule. The one critical element in any leavened dough, whether it's pizza dough or bread dough, is time. And I like to think of time as an ingredient. And you need a fair bit of elapsed time to make a good pizza. It's not much active time, however. You can mix the dough, and I teach to mix the dough by hand in a bucket. It's really simple. It saves pulling out a mixer. You don't have to clean it up. You can, from start to finish, you can have a dough mixed in 5 minutes just by using your hands.
You know what? I'm going to break in right here because we need to take a quick look at the news and weather. So just hang in there, Ken. And listeners, you hang in there, too. We'll be back with Ken Forkish and take your calls as well right after this look at the news. Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Larry Mueller here, taking a look at how to make a great handmade pizza with our guest, Ken Forkish. He is the author of the award-winning book, Flour, Water, Salt, Yeast, and owns three restaurants in Portland, Oregon. His latest book is titled The Elements of Pizza, Unlocking the Secrets of World-Class Pies at Home. It's a beautiful book, and he's a really nice writer as well, which makes it a very enjoyable read, and with some great photography of pizzas and other things as well. So it's a fun book, and great to have him along to talk about making great pizza in your own home. I hope you'll join in at 800-642-1234 with your questions or comments or maybe experiences to share. Email us at talk@wpr.org or go ahead and post on our Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. And, you know, before we go back to dough, talking about dough, I want to go to Jerry in Waukesha, who's been waiting a bit and has a question for you. Jerry, hi.
Hello. Thanks for letting me contribute.
Yeah, thanks for coming.
I was wondering, I'm about the same age as your guest there. I'm 57, and I worked at four separate pizza places when I was a kid. One of them was a regional chain out of Chicago, but the other one were individual family-owned ones here in the area. And we always, there's two things. We always put the pepperoni on the top. You start with your sauce and sausage if you're using it, then when you put mushrooms and onions and green peppers if you had them, olives, and you put all that underneath, and then cheese goes over it, but the pepperoni always went on top. And now I find a lot of places they're burying it under the cheese. I don't think it works out as good, so I'm wondering, with all of his research, is there like a taboo, a definite no or yes, whether the pepperoni should go over the top or not?
That's a good question, Jerry.
Especially since we're talking about pizza that you make at home, I think you should dial it in however you like it. Personally, I want my pepperoni on top, or what if I put salami, whatever, because as it gets exposed to the heat, it's going to crisp up, and the best pepperonis, in my mind, they form kind of a cup. You get this nice little pool of fat in each of the pepperonis. The texture's better. I think the flavor's better, too.
I think you're absolutely right, and you're practicing what you preach, because I can remember the books, or I have the book in front of me here, but all of the photos have the pepperoni on top, for sure. Thanks, Jerry. And Sarah and Madison, we'll go to you, and then we'll. I want to talk some more about dough. Sarah, hi. Thanks for calling.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
Hi, Sarah.
Hey, I love making our own pizzas. It's a great way of just using whatever you have lying around. And this time of year, I love grilling pizzas.
Yeah. How do you do you use how do you do the dough?
Well, I take the dough and I usually set it out on the porch to rise in the, you know, in the sun all day, and I punch it down a couple times. And I usually make smaller pizzas because the bigger ones are harder to grill.
Yeah.
And what you can do is just really lightly use like a spray or put some olive oil on one side and lay it over the grill. And the key is it can't be too hot of a grill, and a charcoal grill works better. And you let that half cook and get bubbly, and then you spatula it off onto like a cookie sheet or something so that the cooked part is on the top. And then you put your toppings on the cooked part, and then you put it back on the grill, and you cook the bottom part, and it works out really well.
Wow. Ken, what do you think?
It sounds good. Another thing you can do, which kind of goes back to the way pizzas were made a long time ago, going back a couple hundred years, is you could just grill your piece of dough just like a flatbread. Just grill it on both sides and then pull it off the grill and then top it with sauce and a grated cheese like Parmigiano Reggiano or Pecorino Romano. And then just a very simple, very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds good, too.
Great.
Thank you, Sarah. And, you know, Jim's got something about grills, too, so let's go there. Jim and Madison, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Great. Appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
So I use my grill year-round as my pizza oven because it'll get up to 700 degrees, and I just use an extra thick pizza stone on it. Let the stone get good and hot, and typically a pizza, we tend to make thin crust pizzas, takes 3-4 minutes max. And you get that charring, and it works great.
Oh, you get 700 degrees out of your gas grill?
That's what the thermostat says on it. So, you know, I fire it up, close the cover, and I don't know if it's a true read or not, but it gets really hot. And you get that, you know, char that we like to see on the edges of the crust, and it cooks fast.
Oh, man.
It's great. So,
Could
I ask a quick question about flour?
Sure.
If you didn't address it. So the recipe I've been working with calls for a mix of pastry and just regular bench flour and a little semolina. And I've also, we've got a couple of good local Italian delis in Madison. Sometimes I pick up 00 flour. Your thoughts on that?
You know, I really like the 00 flour. I used it for most of my recipe testing, and I was using the Caputo flour. And the Caputo is a mill in Naples that they make flour specifically for pizza, and it's the only case I know of a mill that, you know, mills flour specifically for a single product. And it's a really tremendous flour. It works great for pizza, so that's what I use a lot. I also use Shepherd's Grain flour, which is a local flour in the Pacific Northwest. I use that in my pizzeria, and it works great, too. So it's kind of, you know, use what you have around, what gives you what you find gives you good results. I always encourage people to try different sorts of flour to see if they can find their own happy spot.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, for calling. Appreciate your call. Well, let's go back to talking a bit more about the ingredients for the dough. You use your order of ingredients is water, salt, yeast, flour.
That's correct. Yeah, and that follows the ways that pizza doughs are mixed in Naples. They measure out the water at a fairly specific temperature too, because that affects the how fast or how slow the dough is going to develop. Then they add salt, just dissolve the salt, add the yeast, dissolve the yeast, and then add the flour. That's very simple.
I mean, I don't know how much simpler you could get than that.
Exactly. The reason you want to do it in that order, however, is to make sure that the dry ingredients are fully dissolved in the water before you add the flour, and then you'll get your best fermentation in the dough.
Yeah, that really makes a lot of sense. And your doughs, you have some dough. You have a one. I'm going to try this, but it's going to take a little bit of planning as to when I'm going to do it. A 72-hour dough.
Yeah. So I have 10 or 12 dough recipes in the book, and the interesting thing is that of all these recipes, they all have the same ingredients.
Yeah.
And so it's not about the ingredient that defines one dough to the next. What it really is it's about the timeline. And I'm thinking about someone who's got a Monday through Friday, 9-to-5 sort of job, where you get home from work, you don't have a ton of time to make dinner. Or on the weekend, you wake up on Saturday morning and you want pizza that night, so you want a dough that works in the same day. So what I do is I give you doughs that operate on different schedules. Many of them use the refrigerator so that with very little active time on your part, you can still have a dough that's very long fermented to give you the best flavor and the best texture in your pizza.
And so a 72-hour dough is going to have a different taste.
It's going to have, a little bit different taste. Whether or not you might notice it, it's actually hard for me to tell. But you hear a lot of pizzerias, especially in New York, they brag about their dough that's 48 hours or 72 hours. And I just opened a new pizzeria in downtown Portland a couple of weeks ago. And we do a dough that, it's a 48-hour dough, but if we have extra dough balls, they make great pizza the next day, so that's a 72-hour dough. And the 72-hour doughs, they really evolve from pizzerias that need to keep using dough that was made up the day before so they don't have any waste. So that's where that came from.
Right. Oh, man. Chuck in Wisconsin Dells, your turn. Hi.
Hi, thank you. Say, I like a really, really thin pretzel tape crust for pizza. I think the only reason to have a crust on a pizza is to keep all the ingredients from rolling around in the oven.
I don't know if you've been to Rome, but there's a certain style of pizza that I really like a lot that you'll find in Rome. They're baked in wood-fired ovens, and the crust is paper thin. They use a rolling pin to roll it out, and they stretch it out by hand to finish it, and then top it with ingredients and bake it. It's like crackery thin. I love it.
Oh, man.
I've never had any luck throwing the dough up in the air, but by golly, I got a rolling pin.
Use a lot of flour. Don't be afraid to add flour to it while you roll it out. And I have specific recipes and instructions for that kind of pizza in this book.
And, you talk a little bit about the difference between bread dough and pizza dough. And one of the things, a pizza dough has to be more elastic, as you talk about.
Yeah, you want pizza dough, you want to be able to let it snap it back. And it needs enough time for that to happen. If you try to mix a pizza dough and then make pizza from it an hour and a half later, that's work. It needs a lot of time to relax. Bread doughs, on the other hand, they're designed to capture gas and to expand to maximum volume. Everybody likes a loaf of bread that gets big and light and airy on the inside, but pizza's not the same.
No. Hank and Brentwood, your turn. Thank you for calling.
Hi. It's a great, great topic. I grew up in Milwaukee and cut my teeth at Ned's Pizza Cellar on 35th and Villard. That was a real big treat for us. And then I went to work for Hupp's Pizza in Milwaukee and got a hold of their sauce recipe, which I still use to this day. Worked at Pasquale's Pizza and got their dough recipe and learned how to toss it in the air. And then worked in a pizza place in New Mexico and learned about Hawaiian pizza. The only thing that I'm having a problem with is making a good dough at home. I've tried with olive oil, with sugars, and I understand the four ingredients that your guest is talking about. I was just wondering what he thinks about olive oil or sugars in there to help activate that yeast and what have you.
Sugars will activate the yeast, but it's not necessary. You really only need the four ingredients of flour, salt, yeast, and water to make a good pizza dough. I really like it on the dough after it's...
I'm sorry, you broke up there, so we lost your words for a second.
Oh, I'm sorry. To be honest, I'm kind of a... It's not just that I'm a purist. It's just I really don't think the extra ingredients are necessary.
So you.
But anyway, I've got plenty of recipes in the book that use just flour, water, salt, and yeast
to
make a great pizza dough.
Yeah, Hank, I think you should grab a copy of this book. It's, again, and the title of the book is The Elements of Pizza, Unlocking the Secrets to World-Class Pies at Home. And Ken Forkish, who we're talking with today, is the author of the book. How's it doing, by the way?
I don't have any idea.
You know, whenever I have an author on, I ask them how their book's doing, and most that is the almost universal answer.
Now that, you know, I guess there's a lot of authors like myself who check their Amazon rankings way more often than they should.
Amy and Iola would like to hear more about different toppings for pizza, especially in Naples. She said they have some interesting ones, and you certainly have some interesting ones in your book.
You know, the traditional pizzas are margherita and marinara. And a margherita pizza has simply tomato sauce, mozzarella cheese, basil, and a little drizzle of olive oil. And then the marinara pizza is just sliced garlic with tomato sauce and dried oregano. So that's where pizza began, with those very simple pizzas that were really a street food that were very inexpensive. And then as you look around, you start to see more creative toppings on pizzas. Sometimes I like the simplest pies. Sometimes it might be in the autumn and we've got these beautiful chanterelle mushrooms and I want to combine them and garlic and throw them on a pizza. So, you know, I think you can follow your inspiration. And if you make a good dough and bake it well, you can always come up with something interesting to eat.
Yeah, for sure. You've got one caught with... there's a vodka one in there, if I'm not mistaken.
Sometimes the vodka is just for the cook.
I can understand that. Well, Ann and Madison called to back you up and to say that everybody should try to make pizza at home because it's so, and it is, it's fun to make, and it really is tasty.
Yeah, indeed. The other thing is homemade pizza is you can very often get higher quality ingredients than you'd find on a pizza that you buy out. And the quality of the pizza has everything to do with the quality of the ingredients. So the tomatoes that you buy, the cheese that you buy, the olive oil that you use, and so forth.
Yeah, I was thinking there, I do like to go out for pizza as well. We have a pizzeria called Pizon's that has made the same shrimp pizza on a thin crust that I've eaten in my entire life, and Pizon's was around before I was born, and so it's one of those pizzas that I would love to be able to duplicate it at home.
Wait a minute, can you tell me about this shrimp pizza? How does it work?
It's a pizza with a lot of shrimp on it. It's a thin crust. There's some onion. What all is in it? I'm trying to think of the cheeses. It's just a absolutely wonderful pizza.
I'll have to look it up.
You can probably find a shot of it at Pizon's Pizzeria and Pizon's in Madison.
All right, I'll look it up.
It probably has a photo. This is really, really good, and I've had it. I think the first time I had it, I was probably 16 years old, and I'm a lot older than that now. Believe
yeah.
me.
Got it. One of the nice things about pizza, though, is you can search out ingredients that just really take it to another level, like a really good mozzarella di bufala, or certain dried cheeses like pecorino romano, or top it with prosciutto after it comes out of the oven, or buy a good copa and slice it thin and bake the pizza with that on top. I think it's good to think beyond canned olives and green peppers and think in terms of the variety of ingredients that you put on top. And I have a lot of recipes in the book that use these things and then use other ingredients that you might not think about, like delicata squash or even I have a Hawaiian pizza. I've got an artichoke pizza. So some of them are very simple. Some of them are a little bit more creative.
What type of tomatoes make the best sauce?
Well, I think the tomato, canned, whole peeled tomatoes in the can from Italy. I really like the Riga is a brand that I like quite a bit. There are good quality American tomatoes, but it's not just any ordinary can of tomatoes. I would search out the very best. And there's not a lot of price difference between the cheap tomatoes and the best tomatoes.
You know, that's true. And the canned tomatoes are really can capture that sort of summertime flavor.
Even when it's January. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Judy and Ogama has something for us, I believe. Judy, hi. Thanks for calling.
Oh, hi. I was just listening to the radio, and they're talking about pizzas, and I was in a place in a town, Solon, Iowa, which is just north of Iowa City, and they have some of the best restaurants, and one of the restaurants was called the Red Vesper, and it has a pizza oven inside shipped directly from Naples, Italy.
Yeah? And
there's a very famous pizza oven craftsman. His name is Stefano Ferrara, and he's from Naples, and he's been building Neapolitan-style pizza ovens throughout the U.S. over the last 5 or 6 years. They're amazing ovens.
Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it very much, Judy. And the Neapolitan pizza, I didn't know this until, obviously, I read your book, but it's the only pizza that is officially codified.
That's correct. It was standardized in the European Union, and the idea in 2009, the idea behind this was pizza is a treasure in Naples. It's a defining emblem for what it means to be Neapolitan. It's very, very important to their culture, and they wanted to preserve what Neapolitan pizza is to the point of giving it very strict definitions for what ingredients you can use, how the dough is made, how the sauce is made, how it bakes, and at what temperature. And it's like Parmigiano Reggiano or Prosciutto di Parma. It was an effort to protect a cultural treasure and define it.
We have another question about cheese, and mozzarella, of course, is very popular. Are there others you'd like to recommend?
There's a class of cheeses that in Italian are called pasta filata, or they're stretched curd cheeses, and they have this melting quality that mozzarella has. Provolone is another one of those. Caciocavallo is a little more esoteric, but boy, does that taste good. So there are cheeses. Provolone is another one that gives a nice stretchiness to it. There are smoked cheeses that have a really nice flavor. There's smoked mozzarellas. There's smoked provolones. I like them quite a bit. And I've mentioned Pecorino Romano a few times in this interview because I like it so much. It's the sort of cheese that it's a hard cheese that you grate on top of the pizza either before it's baked or after.
Well, I am, it's lunchtime here.
I'm hungry.
And I'm hungry, and I'm thinking pizza right now, as a matter of fact. Ken, it is such a pleasure. And I've got my mind on a couple of pizzas in your book, and I'm going to follow up on that, and I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you very much, Larry. It was a pleasure.
It was a lot of fun. Ken Forkish is the author of another award-winning book, a James Beard book, Flour, Water, Salt, Yeast. He owns several restaurants in Portland, Oregon, and his latest book, The Elements of Pizza, Unlocking the Secrets to World-Class Pies at Home. You know, there's just nothing like a great pizza. And as I was talking about earlier in the show, I have some really fond memories of my mom's pizza in that half-sheet pan that was just wonderful. And, Ken may have recreated that, but he's created several other pizzas that I'm pretty sure I'm going to enjoy, and you may well as well. So great to have him along, and maybe we can have him back and talk pizza again. We have shows tomorrow, obviously. Scott Craven comes by tomorrow. Time for a look at the wonderful world of Wisconsin wildlife with Scott. And so I'm looking forward to that. And I really thank you so much for listening in and for your phone calls today. But lots more in store. Stay with us on the Ideas Network.